Psalm 119, beginning at verse 15. Psalm 119, verse 15. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Psalm 119, verse 15. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgment. We're going to continue a little bit more here, verse 21. This is Ain. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. May God have the blessing of reading the Word of God as He always does. You may be seated. And let's pray. Father, I pray tonight you just help us to understand your word. First of all, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you bring that shining light that shines upon the scriptures that we are not stumbling, but we are seeing the things that need to be seen. Lord, I ask you as those two men were walking on the road to Emmaus with you, that you took and gave them insight. You gave them light into the scriptures. Lord, we ask you that tonight. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. In view of the unrelenting pressure of his enemies, the psalmist relies on three things. One, he needs his need for separation. So I need separation. Depart from me, ye evildoer, for I will keep the commandments of my God. It's a good thing to put a distance between ourselves and those who would persuade us to go against the principles of the Word of God. It's good to put distance between ourselves and those who would persuade us or push us into something that is wrong. And you'll find that all the time. There's always somebody out there, always somebody that's going to try to push you in a wrong way. You know the Bible says one thing, but they're always pushing you to do well. They'll say, well, you know, hey, you don't have to go to church tonight. Let's just go out, you know. Well, what do you do with Hebrews 10:25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. What are you going to do with that? You believe the Bible. You believe the Holy Word of God. You believe the Scriptures. You know, I've pastored here for almost 33 years. And I do my best that every time someone comes into our service, at least hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. At least give them an opportunity to get saved. I've had families in this church that have prayed and begged God to save their mommy and save their daddy, save their uncle, save their grandpa and grandma. And finally that family member comes out to Montana. And to see our magnificent, beautiful, wonderful, gracious, godly country that we have out here. And instead of bringing them to church, they drive up the glacier on Sunday. Are you kidding me? Your parents and your family members, they think, boy, there's something weird about those people. They're always going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, man, you're always there. And we can't call you during Sunday because you're in church. Man, you're crazy. What's the deal with it? And they think you're a kook. They think that you're really religious. They think you really have got into something. And then when they come out here, you don't even bring them to church. Are you crazy? Say, well, they won't come. Well, tell them to stay at home and we'll be back. Preacher lets us out on Sunday morning at 12:15. And Sunday night, who knows? Wednesday night, he tries real hard to get out of here at 8:30. But you can just be there. We'll be back. Go down to McDonald's, have a cup of coffee. We're going to church. Hey, man. Hey, we want so badly to tell people about Jesus Christ. I hope you do. And there's people that are pushing you to keep you from going to church. Well, we got a birthday party. Well, big deal. Someone said, preacher, your birthday's right on Sunday. That's okay. They'll have a birthday party on Monday. That means I've got two birthdays instead of one birthday. Somebody said, oh, pastor, I didn't get your card in the mail. I said, hey, that's great. I got a card in the mail for my birthday a month late, and they felt so bad. I said, man, that's okay. And they had money in it. I was glad they were late. Amen. Don't let anything get in front of your church. May I say this? Don't let anything get in front of this Word of God. You be very careful about this Word of God. You be very careful that you have an answer to every man what the Bible says. Why would you, your family said, well, why are you going to church, man? We're only here for a couple. Well, come with us. Enjoy the time with us. Why do I come to church? I think a pretty good idea is Hebrews 10:25. That's a real good knockout punch to the devil and say the church is important to us. And we will not forsake the assembling. We're going to be here. Christmas time. Well, we just wanted to spend some time. You know, sometimes you can spend too much time with your family. Kind of nice to get them in church. Preacher preaches the devil at them for a little bit and they behave themselves a little bit more. Amen. But anyway. It's a good thing to put distance between ourselves and those who would persuade or push us to do something that's wrong. History would have been very different if Eve would have said to Satan, depart from me, ye evildoer. How many girls would like to have old Satan, Eve, not go through that? Would you raise your hand? Amen. That's a couple of you here tonight. Or if Adam would have chosen, now think of this. What if Adam chose to go alone and says, Eve, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take that. Think God would have blessed him? Absolutely. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Well, if you go with me to the movie theater, I'll go to you to church on Sunday morning. What's the word? No, I ain't going to do that. No. Well, if you kiss me a lot, I'll marry you. No. Not good for a man to touch a woman. That's what the Bible says. Amen? I said it's not good. It's in the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? What good does it come out? Come for drinking. Anybody ever see anything good ever come out of drinking? Well, I'll just have another one for the road. No, we're not going there. No, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. My master says no, and I'm going to do it. In fact, here's a better reason, okay? You ought to have Bible reason. Here's a better reason. The Bible said the king was not to put that to his mouth. Are you kings? Are you kings? Are you the children of the king? Absolutely. You don't put that to your mouth. Oh, I can handle it. Liar. No, you can't. I hear so much of this. People say, oh, you know, I'm so depressed. Well, don't drink. Alcohol's a depressant, stupid. You can't figure out how in the world you'd want to be. Drink all that junk and then hug a disposable unit of porcelain. I'll rest my case. That is the essence that Jesus Christ did to Satan when, for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus Christ was in the wilderness and fasted. And he said, be gone with you. Get thee hence. Get thee hence, Satan. Depart from me, says the psalmist to those. Who in his days that wished to lure him from the path of virtue. Another classic example of a man putting distance between himself and temptation was a guy named Joseph. From what we know about Egyptian social life, Egyptian women did not deprive themselves of sensual pleasures. Numerous popular tales tell about the wives of Egyptian lords, nonetheless, doing as they pleased, casting their eyes on younger men. It is not surprising, therefore, that Potiphar's wife cast lustful eyes towards Joseph, who seemed to have inherited his mother's good looks. When her open proposition was refused, she began to lie in wait for him. The more Joseph drew back, the more she came at him. By the way, that happens. And at last, she physically accosted him, and Joseph fled and put distance between himself and the temptress. Somebody said, well, he lost his coat. He didn't lose his honor. Gentlemen, let me tell you something. You'll lose your honor. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. A man loses honor. By the way, Proverbs is not written for you ladies. Proverbs is written for the man to keep you from the ladies. You didn't like that. Well, if you live right, you like it. Girls ought to read Proverbs. See what you want to stay away from doing, amen. Psalmist saw separation as a means of maintaining, listen now, his holy life. You lose your honor, it's gone. You'll never have it again. You'll never have it again. Our young ladies, if they are promiscuous, they lose their virginity. God help their souls. But a man, he loses his honor. It is no use, you people, from trying to entice me into some kind of wickedness. I'm committed to the Word of God. That's what the psalmist said. He said, I need separation. Number two, he said, I need the Scriptures. Once you separate, you better have some Scripture to back you up, amen? Right. You better understand why you don't do things. I'm so surprised people don't understand, well, why don't we do that? Well, because the Bible says it. It says that in the Bible. Yeah. Read your Bible. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow. Grow. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow. Hey, some of you are just dormant. You've got to read the Bible. It's not my responsibility to tell you what to do. I'm like the coach. Boy, that Duke coach. Magnificent. I don't know how many things he's won. But I watched him. After I said something on Sunday morning, I said about him, you know, I was kind of hoping a Wisconsin win. I really don't like anybody that's a Blue Devil to win anything. But he was a magician. You know what he did most of the time? Just sat back. You know why? He coached them boys and worked with them. And they knew the rules of the game. Let me tell you something. It's knowing the rules of the game of life. It's right here. The Bible said, can a man touch a woman and not be burned? Hey, if you touch a woman, I mean, physically, going on to her, the Bible said you will be burned. And I'll tell you, I know men that have been murderers. I know men who have robbed, absconded funds. And you know what? I know they got away with it. Let me tell you something. I've never met a man who ever went into a married woman and got away with it. Ever. Or a married man. Ever. You will not get away with it. Figure it out right now. You won't get away with it. You will know. They will know it. You can't hide it. So he says, first of all, I want separation. And secondly, he said, I need the scriptures. Uphold me according to thy words that I may live. There's it right there. That I may what? Live. Hey, if you're reading the Word of God and you're serving God and you do what? Man, you're living. You don't have to worry about turning on the radio loud at night to go to sleep. Remember when I was in high school, I used to turn on the radio and listen to it so I could go to sleep. I wasn't living. I was dying. I just want to tell you, kids, listen to me. Read the Word of God. Be so careful about how you live. Oh, it'll come back and bite you. It's like a snake. Sin. When it is conceived, it bringeth forth death. You're not going to get away with it. Oh, you say, well, I've really fooled my mama. I fooled my daddy. Yeah, but you didn't fool God.
Right.
You remember the scripture where the king was, he got so mad, he said, it seemed like that there's a bird in my chamber that tells that prophet out there. You'd be surprised how many times a preacher knows stuff that people don't know about it. God's word is what undergirds the psalmist's faith. It stiffened his resolve. It staked everything to it. He leaned heavily on its counsel. I mean, it was the anchor that held him straight in the storms of life. He leaned heavily on that counsel. He said that if God's word failed him, if that let him down, he might just as well die. But he had made no mistake. The Bible was well able to uphold him, come what may. So he said, hey, I need separation. Number two, I need the Bible. And number three, he said, I need support. I need support. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. I will have respect, verse 117, you see that? I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Hey, I need some holding up. Have you ever had a bad day? How many have ever had a bad day? Would you raise your hand? You've never had a bad day? How many have had a bad day? Raise your hand. I mean a day that you don't even know what to do or turn upside down. Kids don't obey you. That's a bad day. I said kids don't obey you. That's a bad day. Wife wants to fuss with you. That's really a bad day. Because when mama not happy, ain't nobody happy. That's right, brother. Something wrong with Dad. That's a bad day. You know the worst thing that happened to your dad, your husband? He gets sick. That's really bad. Because now you his mama. And he wants as much care or more care than your stinking kids. Don't look at me like that. It's a bad day. It's a bad day when you come up to the 17th or the 15th, we have to pay our taxes. 15th. Yeah, don't forget. It's a bad day when the 15th comes up and you're going to say, I need to pay. I talked to a family yesterday, $30,000 they got to pay Uncle Sam. How many like come off of that? I just would like to have $30,000, amen. Whew! That a bad day? Yeah. Now, with all the doctrinal dissertation and everything, I understand what a bad day is and a bad day is, but it's a bad day. It really throttles us back. It's like going up the hill and you're looking for another gear and it ain't there. Bad day is, heard about the guys where there's a fire in town and the bank was burning down and another place is burning down and all of a sudden here come the Clampett boys coming into town. And they come right in that old town, ran right through the fire and put it out, amen. Guy says, man, you ought to be on the fire department. He said, no, we were just heading for the garage. Our brakes went out in our car. That's a bad day. You know, he said, listen, I need God to hold me up. You all need God to hold you up. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I'll tell you what, this world is very, very violent to us. And you think it's violent now, you'd better hang on. A lot of crazy things going on in America today and in the world. It used to be we were proud to call ourselves a Christian. Now people are kind of looking over their shoulder before they say it. Here's a threefold law of life on the vine. The first thing the vine learns is to cling. It must have support. It must have some outside support. It cannot hold itself erect and throw its branches in the ordinary like a tree does. How many have ever been around grapes? There's a lot of work to grapes. They just don't grow. There's a lot of work. And what did the Lord talk about us? We're the branch. He is the vine. And there's a lot of holding up. You go through the vineyards out in California, you'll see those people working all the time, moving those vines, making sure they're climbing right. It makes the difference between a great harvest and no harvest. And this psalmist understood that. Hold thou me up. Secondly, I must have someone to cling to. That was the lesson that Jacob had to learn. It took him 20 years to learn it. In his life, he had schemed and planned, even in the things of God. He had schemed to get his birthright. He had schemed to get the blessing. He had schemed to get the right bride. He had schemed to get his business. And then he had schemed to make sure his brother wasn't going to kill him like his brother promised to. And all the time, he needed to be broken. It's not bad to be broken. I was watching a history channel on K2. K2 is a mountain next to Mount Everest, and it is the hardest 25% of the people that start climbing it die. And I was listening to this climber, and he said, it is not the most important thing to get to the summit, which is the top. He says the most important thing is the climb and coming down with all your fingers and all your toes and all your companions. He said, it's not. And I thought, man, that's a Christian life. It's not getting to the summit, having the biggest church and having the biggest this and the biggest that. I told a friend of mine the other day, and they said that my friend Bobby King, they had 40,000 eggs on Sunday for the Easter egg hunt. 40,000! That reminds me, I haven't paid you yet. Don't let me forget. It's not the biggest. I know a lot of guys that try to be the biggest and they crash and burn. And they're out of the ministry today. Hey, I'm not a quitter, okay? And I'm going to climb K2 as high as I can get, but I do want to have my fingers and I want to have my toes and I want to have my comrades with me. I want to have my friends with me. I want to get through this life, and when you have a problem, I want to be there for you. And when you have a problem, I want to be there for you. When you have a problem, I want to be there for you. Now, this guy, he said, I'm not going today. And they said, you're not climbing? Up. They were going from number three camp to fourth camp. And fourth camp, then you go to the summit. And what they have to do is they have to climb up and stay there, acclimate to the oxygen depravity, and then they have to come back down. And then they climb up, and they come back and down until their bodies are... He said, I'm not ready for this. My heart is jumping out of my chest. I can't do it. There are some things in the Christian life you'll not be able to do. Some of you will never be a missionary. Some of you will never be a pastor. Some of you will never be an evangelist. But you do what God calls you to do. And the Lord's going to say this to you when you get to heaven, well done, my good and faithful servant. God is looking for faithfulness. God's looking for men and women and boys and girls that just staying with it. Amen. They separate from the world. They stay in the Bible. And they lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. It's not making it to the summit. It's making sure that you have all your hands, all your fingers, and all your toes, and all your friends come down with you. He said the climb is what the most exhilarating thing there is. Is it a climb to be a Christian? The Bible says it is. Work till the night is coming. Work. Hey, we got a missionary conference. We ought to be working. We ought to be thinking. We ought to be looking things to do that we can make this missionary conference better. Will it be the best missionary conference? I hope so. But if I don't get to the summit, at least I have my fingers and my toes, and I have my friends. And I think that's great. That's a great analogy. And it's time to quit. Lord, speak to our hearts. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Oh God, I pray you'd help us to live for you. Lord, forgive us where we have not tried our best to serve you. Lord, forgive us where we have not called upon your name and said, Dear God, help me. I cannot do this on my own. Lord, now bless this service. Lord, I pray that anyone here today not know you as their Savior, that today would be that day. And they'd cry upon you. And then, Lord, there are others who are forsaken and tired and worn. Would you encourage them? May they live for you and be excited, be able, one more day we can serve you. One more day we can climb towards the top. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.